Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
We serve a God who hears the cries of his people. There are situations sometimes that we get into in life where there's difficult situations where we cry out for help. There's times where we cry out because we're desperately hungry for more of him, to go beyond where we are. One of the stories that I love in the Bible is where Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and they were ready to actually launch a revival over in the land of the Gerasenes. And on their way, though, this great storm came up. And Jesus was actually at rest with it. He was asleep in the boat, but the disciples were concerned. They knew that he was taking them over to the other side, to a place where they hadn't ministered before, to the unknown. They were expecting something great to happen, but then on the way, this storm came up. And they cried out to Jesus. You know, Jesus did not respond to the warfare, the storm, the waves that were overtaking the boat. But he did respond to their cry, and he'll respond to yours. Are you crying out for revival? Are you crying out for more of God? Are you crying out in desperation to go further where you've ever gone before? He hears that cry. And with me today, we have a very good friend with us and a wonderful, honored woman of God in the body of Christ, Apostle Barbara Yoder. And Barbara, this is a message today, the cry of our heart that God hears. God hears the cry. Mm-hmm. And that is what he responds to bring revival, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So share with us what's on your heart with this.
I developed the book out of really what happened to me and how the revival happened in Detroit, Michigan, and compared that or likened it to the situation we're in today, that we're in really a brand new era, an era where the rules of the game have changed. If you talk to financial investors, they say they don't even know how to invest today because the
right.
rules that they used to use to make things work, to make money, they're not working today. They've had to rethink everything, and it's that way in life. I was reading about corporations, and the one thing they say about corporations is really the best of the leaders are in the dark about what to do to really mm-hmm. make things work today. And one of the things that they were saying is that we've got a lot to learn from the terrorists. Because we've got to go small, and the new big is small,
right.
and we've got to be able to change quickly, and to be able to mobilize quickly. And what it's created, this whole scenario of uncertainty, mm-hmm. is desperation, and a sense of I'm in this dilemma. What do I do? And you're desperate because you don't have answers. You don't know which way to go. You don't know what to do. And the stories of our lives that have worked in the past aren't working
anymore.
I
know. And the good part about that kind of desperation and crying out in the midst of some of these things are fearful, especially for business people, economists, as they're looking at everything that's going on right now, government leaders. I mean, they don't have any pattern from the past that they can follow. The good thing is that that cry of desperation will bring God on the scene. You
Absolutely.
Know, so it's like that is what's so amazing. But we have to come to the end of ourselves first
yeah.
to be able to see what he's able to do.
Yeah, in the book I wrote that God really, the book that we were living out of, our story, mm-hmm. that it's the story that we were living is now finished.
Yeah.
And God has put a brand new book in our hand, which represents the new story he wants to tell through our lives because the times have so changed. And I was reminded as I was writing the book of the degree of change it takes, that we're going to have to totally change. There's a couple chapters in the book. One is change whether you like it or not. And then the subsequent chapter is what do we change into? Mm-hmm. And I lead into the whole thing of being delivered to the door of desperation. And it was desperation that really creates revival, I believe.
Come on.
I love revival. I'm crazy about revival. Mm-hmm. I want to live in revival. So I've read so many revival books, you can't even count them on both my hands. And people say it's prayer, it's fasting, it's righteousness, it's repentance, it's all these things. And I think that all those elements are part of it. But the bottom line to revival is desperation.
Yep.
It's nothing's working, and so we're willing to do whatever it takes to seek God.
And it's so neat that God would just hear that cry of desperation. I opened with the story about Jesus in the boat with the disciples, and he actually knew where he was going, and his goal was revival in that whole region.
Mm-hmm.
But when they started out going to that destination, warfare hit them. That's why I believe the wind and the waves and everything was an act of spiritual warfare from the demonic spirits in that mm-hmm. region where they were going. He wasn't moved by that himself, because he was in absolute faith. He was just sleeping in the boat and just, you know, knowing that he was going to get to what he had seen in his own spirit. But the disciples had never been in that position before. Everything was out of hand. I mean, they'd been walking with Jesus. Everything had been coming up roses, you know, like there was miracles, signs, wonders everywhere where they went. And now they're in the midst of the sea, and it felt to them that they were going to perish. So all of a sudden this desperation came up out of fear, actually, because
right.
it was new. They hadn't been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jesus' response. He didn't respond to the spiritual warfare.
Mm-mm.
He responded to their cry.
Yes.
Their cry of desperation was
yes.
heard. So he gets up and in a word hushes the sea, the wind and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It all calms down. Everything's fine. But when they get to the other side, there's this demoniac that greets them, which was the spirits that probably caused the problems in the first place. Long story short, that man got delivered. And the people in the region, though, reacted to that deliverance. They didn't welcome the revival that they could have had at that time.
Mm-hmm.
They were afraid of it. The man wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you stay here, because he saw beyond that circumstance, he saw the revival that was to come. So he told the demoniac to go and spread the revival, to spread the testimony.
Mm-hmm.
The next time he comes over, the people are desperate. They're bringing their sick. As soon as he lands up on the shore, they're bringing their sick. Please heal my loved one. Please heal me. Please deliver me. Because that testimony had produced desperation in them. So I see it. I see what you're saying. And it's in every aspect of life
mm-hmm.
that we, like this healthy desperation for more of God is going to cause him to move.
Yeah, you know, in the book I wrote about the 1948 revival in Detroit, because that was the church that God took me to when I ran into his outrageous love. And it was a church led by Myrtle D. Beale, a woman, interestingly, who had gone to North Battleford, Saskatchewan, to receive the revival there. She was scared to death. She couldn't even ride in a car across the city of Detroit.
Wow.
But yet she was so desperate
that she would do anything.
Because of World War II and the depression they
yeah.
just come through.
Right.
And she knew that the people, this is the way she said it. She said, they're twice dead and plucked up. I like it.
Wow.
In other words, they were really dead. They
wow.
weren't even in the ground. They were so dead, they, you know, dried up yeah. and blown away. And so every Sunday she'd have to preach them just back to life. Went to North Battleford, and she could only fit in the back of the room standing up. They prophesied to her. Why was she there? Why was she willing to drive all that or be driven all that distance? Because of desperation.
Yeah.
And then it was desperation that took her back to Detroit to share with the people, and all of a sudden this unusual presence of Jesus just came in. And if they were in revival for 5 years, just like Toronto, like Pensacola. People came from all over the world. The church exploded to a church of 3,500.
In response to desperation.
In response to desperation. And God literally built a church where multitudes were impacted phenomenally. And I wasn't there then, of course, but later on in the 70s, I went, and she was in the last part of her years, and it was still going on then. Wow. It changed Western Ontario. It changed at Elam Fellowship in Lima, New York, was birthed out of that revival. Wow. The many places in Michigan were changed. It brought about change. Plus, she had a vision that this was only the beginning, that literally Detroit was going to become a city that was overtaken by God. Well, you see Detroit today. Detroit became, in 2008, it was at the bottom of the barrel in the nation. But there again, desperation. In the 40s and 50s, Detroit had been the wealthiest city per capita of any city in the world.
Wow.
And now we have this bombed out city.
Wow.
But yet that residue of her anointing, of the prophecies that she spoke over that city, that were birthed out of desperation, that were birthed out of times of prayer, because she knew that unless God got a hold of that city and changed it. And I believe that because of what happened through her, God visited the next generation, and then the next generation, and now Detroit's becoming a renaissance
city. I know, and I was just there, and you could feel the difference, because, you know, even over the last few years, you could feel like the sadness, the oppression years ago, like after the whole thing collapsed, and you could just feel like it was sad. But then I think it's through the desperation of the people that God has landed, because what a difference. Like, you know, the whole atmosphere is changing. You can feel it being rebuilt. It's awesome what God is doing in Detroit today.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I look at you, and we're of the same generation. But the issue in Detroit has been that our generation has seen Detroit out of the past, out of what it was and what it lost.
Right.
But it's the younger generation
that sees it,
that's
it
rebuilding it. That's it. To me, it's another lesson on why we have to stay in revival, because if we don't stay in revival, we can't see. We can't see the delight of God to just change things. The fact that he started out scripture in Genesis 1-2, he started out as a restoring desolate places God. And so it's, you know, that scripture in Isaiah 43, remember not the former things, neither consider
the things
of old, because I'm doing a new thing. And I really believe it's a lesson to our generation. Quit looking back.
Yeah.
Stay
That's
fresh
so
with
important
God.
Because the latter glory is greater than the former.
Absolutely.
So if you only have a grid for former glory and you stay in that, you'll only attract the memory of the former glory. But when you just, you know, open up your life to just believe for something greater and beyond what you've ever seen or heard. Scripture says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart even what God's going to do, but he'll reveal it through his spirit. So I'm excited about this coming day, and I'm desperate. Like, you know, I've enjoyed everything that God has done. And I've loved being. In fact, I prayed years ago, Lord, don't let me out of anything. I want to be right where you are.
Yes.
I don't do something without me. I want to be there. I want to be part of it. I want to serve it. I want to be where you are. And I've been so blessed, but I'm desperate for more. You can feel it in the spirit that there's something bigger.
Yeah. Well, he talks about living out of the proceeding word of God rather than, you know, not by natural bread.
Right.
And so the proceeding word is the now word. And I think that's, I'm with you. I've had a glorious times. I mean, there's been such exciting times in my life, a lot of them. But that's old. That's the past. I want to see God moving amazingly in
Amen.
The future. I keep putting
Come
out
on.
New fishing poles to hook the new. Where is mm-hmm. it? What's going on? Who's yeah. got it? Who's moving it? Who's hungry?
Yeah. And, you know, we don't want to be like in our 90s sitting back thinking about old revivals. I mean, we can do that, but not at the expense of failing to believe for more. Even when we're in 90, 100, as long as we have breath, we can believe for more. We can have desperation for more. I never want to be fully satisfied. But, you know, God is so good that even the desperation, I mean, we're talking about desperation that has expectancy to it, which is hope and faith. But there's also the desperation that comes out of fear that God also honors. He so honors desperation. And it's like, I think of the children of Israel, when they were in bondage, captivity, oppressed by Egypt, they're in there, and there's this desperate cry, and it says God heard their cry. He heard their cry, and he sent a deliverer in response mm-hmm. to their cry. Mm-hmm. And there was not an ounce of faith in it, really.
No.
You know, they were miserable. It was a cry of misery, and yet he's so compassionate that he hears it. Mm-hmm. And how desperate are you? You know, do you have a cry of desperation with the expectancy for more? Or are you desperate because you're just at the end of the rope and you say, God, you've got to come through. I'm telling you, we serve a compassionate God. And you just get excited right now because that desperation is going to produce a move of his hand, a movement of his heart toward you like you've never known before. And I just get a word of knowledge right now for someone who is desperate in a financial area in your life. And you're saying, God, what is going on? I've been faithful for years. I've been believing you. Things are really bad right now. I don't know what to do. And you've been crying out. I see it in my spirit. You're crying out, but God is going to answer your cry. He sees your desperation and he is on your side and he's going to bring a breakthrough. It doesn't matter if it's financial or a health issue or a relational issue or dry spirituality. He hears your desperate heart. He hears your cry and he's about ready to answer. Get ready for revival, which is refreshment and outpouring and bringing back to life again. Get ready for that. It is coming. I specifically see a word of knowledge right now for a school teacher. You're a school teacher, but you have a financial issue in your life and you love the children you're teaching, but just even yesterday, from before you watched this program, you were in your classroom and you could not focus. There's trauma in your soul. And the Lord says, just cry out to him with expectancy because the answer is on its way. Breakthrough is on its way. Amen. Oh, this is such a powerful message you're carrying, Barbara.
Well, you know, I think, Patricia, it takes a cry to birth anything. And you can say it could take hours of prayer, hours of fasting. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just takes, oh, God, I don't know what I'm in for. I need to get over here. I don't know right. how to get their help.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the break, and how I got a word in 2010 that I was told healing meetings.
Right.
And it just totally blew me out of the water. I mean, I'd seen the sick healed. And I had and some amazing miracles where somebody with metastatic cancer, I mean, the doctor had written them off. And the Lord said, I want you to call the sick up tonight to be healed. I felt as about anointed to heal the sick as a rock lying in the road. But I just obeyed God.
Yeah.
And to make a long story short, the guy fell on the floor, and for 45 minutes, you could see his body just move up and down as the power of God was moving. He had, the cancer had spread to his liver. It was throughout his entire organs. It was in the lymph nodes under his armpits. And I just watched that. But God told me something in 2010. He said, I want you to hold healing meetings. Well, I would do this if God said, oh, tell the sick to come up.
Amen.
But never healing meetings. I was desperate. So what did I do? I think about you because you're a pioneer, that you constantly want to move into the new. And I'd gotten two words from two different really high-level credible prophets that I was to do healing meetings. So I didn't even know what to do. I said, well, how do you hold just a healing meeting
right.
where you're not preaching, but you're talking about healing the sick, you're specifically addressing them, And so I didn't know what else to do, but I knew Randy Clark, so I said, well, I'll buy his DVD series. Well, I bought every single one of them, gave him over $1,000 for product, just because I was desperate.
Right.
It was a cry of desperation. I sat every night in front of my TV in bed, watched every DVD on how to heal the sick, then taught a class. People came to the class to learn how to heal the sick, and I'd never held a healing meeting in my life.
Oh.
And then I'd have an impartation. People started getting healed in the class.
Because God was confirming his word.
Because, that's right. And then we just began, and then events opened up to where I could minister healing and just saw some incredible things happen.
Beautiful.
I wouldn't call myself a healing minister, but my goodness, saw a gal who'd never walked with spina bifida, who a little gal, 6 years of age,
wow,
just begin to walk. There's somebody out there television audience today, and you're just watching this, and you've got a child who's never walked. And I say to you, just start walking that child. She just took the braces off, and she said, I believe God can heal me. She was 6 years of age. She walked, and not only did she walk, and as she got confident, she never in her life walked without braces because she'd fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And she not only walked, but she ran. At that same meeting, God healed a blind woman of blindness. Another person got out of a wheelchair. I mean, I sat there.
Wow, it's awesome.
Holy moly, I could get into healing. This is exciting. But all because of the word of God and the word of the prophet, putting the two together.
It produced desperation in
it
you
did.
Because it was unknown territory for you. You had been comfortable in certain areas of ministry, but it wasn't like that was the focus.
Mm-mm.
So it produced a desperation because you knew that if you were going to do healing ministry, you couldn't do it without the Spirit's power.
Absolutely.
And so you made investment. You acted upon your desperation and let it move you towards the goodness of God, and he honored that.
You
it's
know,
amazing.
A funny part of it, I think this is so hysterical, because I'd been to graduate school, I'd taken statistics, and so I knew about probability statistics. So the first healing meeting, I'd never done a healing meeting. I'm in my later years of ministry. I'm not at the beginning where Barbara Yoder's this great minister of healing that's called to go to the nations. Now, that was not my specialty.
Right.
So I'm up there and ready to call the sick up to be healed. I didn't have one word of knowledge.
Wow.
I had nothing. All I had was the word that said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So I thought, well, I got to kick start this healing part with something. So I remembered probability statistics. I think this is hysterical. And so there were about 400 people there.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, probably about 20% have a knee problem. I'm thinking this as they think I'm praying.
Right.
But I'm thinking this through. And of those 20%, maybe 10% have a right knee problem. So all of a sudden, I said, there's somebody out there who has a problem with their right knee. I knew darn well that there was somebody out there just because of probability statistics.
Wow.
But I was so desperate to start somewhere. This guy stands up. He said, that's me. And I said, oh, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And I said, well, come on up. God wants to heal you. He said, no. He wouldn't come up. He sat down.
Oh, no.
So I thought, oh, my God, here's my one healing case that's going to jumpstart the whole thing. And it failed. So right away I said, okay, 10%. There's some more out here with their right knee. Well, do you know, everybody with a right knee problem came up. They were all healed.
Come on.
When they were done, this guy back there stands up. And he says, I want to get healed. Well,
wow.
Come to find out, his knee was so messed up from an accident, not this knee, that's the left knee. It was his right knee, was so messed up from an accident. He was scheduled for surgery on Monday. He had no faith that God would heal his knee. He'd been through everything prayed for. Well, when he saw that, God built faith in him. He came forward, God healed his right knee.
Wow.
Miraculously, and the surgery was canceled.
I can see what, like, God must have been so smiling at you that night, because
it was crazy.
There you were. Just out of wanting to be obedient, but not having, you know, knowing how to step into the, all the tools that were available. But you took what you had. You thought, well, I'm just gonna do this, and I'm in desperate need of God to respond to this. And I can't even imagine what that must have been feel like, what you must have felt like when he wouldn't come up for prayer. That even made more desperation. You were probably more desperate because there you are in front of all those people, and then God surprised you in such a beautiful, he responded to your desperation. And what are you desperate for? What do you need right now? I believe that many of you are being healed right now. Before we started this program, I just got this word from the Holy Spirit. He says, mention healing and miracles, because, you know, there can be a progressive healing, but there can be a miracle of healing too. And I believe miracles of healing are happening right now for you. Someone who had tuberculosis years ago, and it was you know, cured because of medicine and stuff like that, but there's something that it left a situation in your lungs. It's being healed right now by a miracle. And knee problems are being healed right now by miracles, because God is moving on your life. Now, I want you to get Barbara's book. You know, it's all about what we're talking about, this desperate cry, how God hears the cry of your heart and will move you into empowerment, move you into revival, move you into new manifestations, refreshment. It's on your screen right now, how to get that book, where to get in contact with her, you know, if you wanted to invite her out for instruction or to help you go to the next level. You know, she is an awesome minister of the gospel and has trained up many who could also go out and serve you. But this is a day and an hour when God is moving in power and he hears your cry. It could be the cry for your loved ones to be saved. It could be here the cry for revival, the cry to get out of a desperate situation, the cry for healing, the cry for financial release, whatever. He is a God who hears your cry. And there's one thing he wants you to know right now above all else, and that's this, that he loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
And so, Lord, I release your glory on my new friend.
This is Clarice. Clarice lives in the frozen tundra of Antarctica, which leaves Clarice lacking a church community. So she logs on to XP Web Church, where she can connect with a vibrant church community anytime, anywhere. Join now at xpwebchurch.com.